All right. Well, we have a dadtrepreneur on the line with us. Did I say that right? It's Chris Pegula. Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Good. We spoke about this before you got on the air with us. You are the creator of Diaper Dude, and it's America's most high-profile line of hip gear for cool dads. And I'll tell you, in 2002, when my second son was born, I felt bad that my husband was carrying around a baby-looking diaper bag, so I went and bought one of your messenger bags, and it served us well.
Awesome. Right on.
So, first of all,
functional and fashionable.
It really, I showed you a picture.
Yeah,
of
they look great. Yeah.
They're really cool. And that's, you know, guys don't want to walk around with a floral or baby looking diaper bag. So, congrats on the Diaper Dude bags. You can go to diaperdude.com. Is that where we find you?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Great place.
You wrote a book, From Dude to Dad, when you are about ready to have a baby. And the new book is Diaper Dude, The Ultimate Dad's Guide to Surviving the First 2 Years. Here's my question to you, and I think this is a common thing. I know when my husband was around when the kids were born, and Bill, when your kids were born, our dads didn't do a lot of hands-on stuff.
No.
This was a new breed of dad, and that's definitely changed, hasn't it?
Absolutely, and that's, I think, an exciting thing. If you, you know, look today on a weekend or even during the week when you go out and witness dads pushing their children or at the park with them and no mom to be seen, that's a pretty cool transition that's happening. I think the stereotype for men is changing drastically today. And much of the credit goes to women because, you know, not only are they able to handle childbirth and be amazing moms, but they're also going back to the workplace, you know, and a lot of dads that happen to stay at home given the recession that happened in 2008, you know, and finding this new interaction with their children, being able to take part from the very beginning is really cool. So I think it's fascinating and really exciting.
You know what, though, Chris, is when my daughters were really little, whenever I would take them anywhere without my wife, I got a lot of sympathy from people who thought she either died or we had split up. That was an everyday occurrence.
Really?
People, yeah, they'd come by and they'd go, oh, a lot of people felt sorry for us.
Yeah, and I think that's changing, though. And I think that, like, you know, there's still that, I think that the term people would use today for that is called dad shaming.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, you're the babysitter or what happened or how did you get, you know, stuck with the kids? But, you know, I think we have to look at the past and it's kind of like history did show that, you know, since like you starting the segment saying that a lot of dads weren't involved as they were. Although I have to admit, my dad, I'm the fifth of six children. And even though my dad was a successful entrepreneur, businessman, he always made time and I always felt like he was there and involved with us and didn't sacrifice raising the family with my mom in order to run his business. You know, he was able to handle both, but perhaps it was because his dad passed away when he was 16 and he had no other choice but to go out and to raise his family and younger siblings. So it's kind of like you know, I guess you do what you have to do, but today it's an exciting, like I said, change in the role of men and the stereotype that's going along with it.
But it is, the key word is change. And if there are people listening now who are expecting their first child or they've just had it, by the way, this would make a great Father's Day book, Diaper Dude. So moms get this for your husbands. But I remember my first son, Michael, he cried all the time. He didn't sleep very well. And I'll never forget my husband just walking around with Michael going, this is the living room. This is the dining room. And just giving him a tour of the house. And neither of us really knew how to take care of a baby. I had this thing when Michael was born, our first kid. I said, his mom volunteered to come and stay with us. And I said, no, it's a bonding moment. I just want the three of us.
Yeah.
And boy, did I regret that decision because it is quite a change in your life.
It is. And I think that, you know, as much as you prepare and as much as you try to learn and read about, there's nothing like experience. And I think that that's just, you know, there's going to be a lot of failures that occur, but from failures come experience and learning. So it is challenging for both, you know, moms and dads. I think the one thing that what my first book addresses was the connection that men lack in the pregnancy experience, because obviously babies being born and going through mom's transitions, and you feel like you don't have a role necessarily until the baby shows up. But there are ways to connect, I think, ahead of time during that pregnancy. But again, once the baby is there, it's just sort of the act of getting involved and not being afraid to make mistakes, because nobody's perfect.
Oh, you're going to make a ton of mistakes.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes you'll learn from them.
Exactly.
Chris, are you a believer? This was a little bit of a debate when my daughters were being born. There are certain people who say, you know, what you want to do is, even though the babies are there in your wife's stomach, you should always be talking to her stomach so the babies can hear and get used to the sound of your voice. And then other people go, oh, that's ridiculous. That's not going to pay off. What do you think? Is that real or not real?
Oh, my God, completely real.
Yeah.
At least I felt from my experience. In fact, when my wife was pregnant and I did speak to her stomach at first, I felt like a fool. But then after doing it a few times, literally I could see my son move in her belly to my side of the belly. And it was freaky, like an alien. But it's awesome. You know? And I think that actually translates to when the kids are actually born and you think, oh, they don't understand what's going on. They pick up energy, you know? They can tell the energy in the home. So it's really important, I think, for parents to be aware of that as they're going through their trials, the struggles, or whatever, of raising their children, to be able to keep their calm and cool and, you know, keep that energy positive when you're around your...
I'll tell you what happened to us is, after my daughters were born, my wife said, no more of this talking to my stomach. You did that for 9 months, and you got to stop that now.
Well, I think she was onto something.
Maybe.
There.
All right.
Are you still trying to talk to it?
Yeah, every once in a while, I'll come home from work and tell a story to her stomach, and it doesn't go over well.
I'm trying to think of the book. It was the Dr. Seuss, Oh, the Places You'll Go, is what we read to our kids. And then, of course, the What to Expect When You're Expecting. That was where Jim got involved in the pregnancy, because after, I think it was day by day or week by week, every week on Sunday, he'd be the one reading it to me. So he kind of participated in that.
Did you see who endorsed Chris's book? It'd be Heidi Murkoff, the author of What to Expect When You're Expecting, gave you some pretty high praise there.
Yeah, I was really honored that she enjoyed it and really thought that it was a nice compliment. So
that's what it is, though. Your book is like a guy's version of What to Expect When You're Expecting, isn't it?
Well, it is. And, you know, I think the thing is, my approach to my books was more from the emotional perspective of how guys can try to continue to keep their identity, how to adjust emotionally so that you're not freaking out. Because there's, you know, What to Expect When You're Expecting really addresses all the medical and scary things. And even though we do touch on, tips and ideas and comments about medical stuff, it's mostly more of the guide for dads to emotionally connect and with your partner and your child.
It does change when all of a sudden a third person is brought into your relationship, and sometimes I believe in time out and I don't believe in time out. Can that create a wedge between parents?
Oh, my God, completely. I think that...
Teenagers, because we're in that wedge right now.
Well, I think that's going to be my next book. I have my kids are now 17, 15, and 12.
Oh.
I'm earning all the gray hairs in both my beard.
Hurry up and write that for me, will you?
I know. Seriously. But I think that there is definitely the challenge of not going against each other as parents, because the stress that a third child or a third person brings to the relationship is really overwhelming. And I think that if you can be a source of support for one another and to really be on the same page, that's going to be tremendous. You can be on the opposite page outside of the room or outside of the house, you know, with your partner. But I think, you know, having that energy being really positive is again, important.
And something we try to do and we're not very successful with it is, a lot of times when you have teenagers and you go to figure out some consequences, a lot of times you just blurt it out and you have to try and get in the habit of going, honey, can I talk to you for a minute in the other room? And then you come in as a united front. That is helpful. We're still working on that.
Oh, I think that, again, I'm the same way. And in fact, if you don't follow through with those consequences, then forget it. Your kids are just not going to take you seriously. So it's definitely a challenge. I got to get this book going soon.
You should.
What's the best advice anyone ever gave you, Chris, in terms of child rearing? What seems to make the most sense?
Wow, that's a very interesting question. I think that before having kids, when everyone would say, get as much rest as possible.
Yeah.
I never took it as seriously until you actually experience it.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say, like, the most rest you can have makes you a better parent and a better person. So taking that time, even throughout your parenting, to just be calm and not reactive, because when you are reactive in the moment, it definitely can bite you in the butt. And so you really want to be, you know, as calm and cool as you can be.
Yeah.
Chris Pagula on the line with us. I almost said a bad word on the air. He has written Diaper Dude, The Ultimate Dad's Guide to Surviving the First 2 Years. There is a video that has gone viral, and we're going to post it on our Facebook page, Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. And Chris, you may have seen it. If not, please take a look at it. It's a dad, a cool-looking dad with his cool-looking new baby, and they're doing like a selfie video, and the dad goes, "What's up?" And the baby tries to recreate it. And I'm telling you, there is nothing more magical to the ears of anyone than a baby that is just completely cracking up.
Mm-hmm.
It is the funniest thing.
I do remember seeing that. It is the sweetest thing. It makes me want to have a child again.
For a minute.
Exactly.
But that is just an example of how they really do try and recreate everything we do. So, again, I'm not great at it, but, you know, realize that they pick up everything. They're like little sponges.
Completely. Sponges is the perfect word to use for that, and it's to describe it.
How do your kids feel about the fact that they have been used as subject matter for a book? Are they good with that or not good with that?
Oh, I have to say, so my oldest recently came over to me and he's like, "Dad, I Google searched my name and I found that I'm in your book."
Yeah.
So I started to read it and it's actually pretty good. And I'm like, all right.
He's surprised by that.
That's the biggest compliment you could get from a teenager.
Yeah.
I know, seriously. But not all of them are that excited about it. In fact, I just had a book launch at a local bookstore here in L.A., and a cousin of mine went over to my youngest, and he's like, "So your dad doesn't mention you much in the book. You better get on him for the next book." Does that show how much he loves you? And meanwhile, I was like, no, it's that my third is going to kill me if I mention too much about him in the book.
So funny.
I have one final question, and again, this is something that I may not be great at, but a lot of times when we as a family have children, the mom's priorities go completely towards the child and the husband feels left out. Does that happen?
Oh, my God. I remember that completely when we had our first child. And I felt like, wait a minute, where do I stand? How come I'm not as important? But I think for men to understand that ahead of time and to know that that's a normal reaction and it's not that you're being neglected. It's just, you know, it's hard, that connection I think that moms have and having carried that child for 9 months. I think that it's a discussion to have with your partner ahead of time to relate your feelings and get the validation that you are just as important. But time flies by so quickly, as I'm both sure you know, with your children being so old that, you know, you look back on that and it's a moment in time. So that it's, I think it's just important for guys to feel as validated as much as women do as well.
And don't you think with a husband that contributes to the diaper changing? I think my husband probably changed more diapers than I did. He got so good at it. Bill, you said you could do 2 girls at once.
I was able to do that.
But the more the guy helps, I think the less isolation will happen, because then the mom is like, oh, great job, thank you. And then we have more time to spend on you, the husband.
Absolutely. Tag teaming is what it's all about, really, that partnership. But, you know, you just reminded me of another funny viral video of a dad who's doing a diaper change and he's gagging, like, repeatedly over trying to change the diaper. And it looks hysterical because he's this big, like, you know, macho type of guy.
Yeah.
He can't handle changing a diaper. It's pretty humorous.
You do get used to that.
Yeah, you kind of do. Wow. Congrats.
I can hold my breath for a long time.
Chris, congrats on the book. It's a good one. It's Diaper
Thank
Dude.
You.
Chris Pagula is his name. It's available wherever better books are sold. And some awful books, too. They have them sometimes. Get this one. It's a good one.
And your website, again, is diaperdude.com. If you're looking, honestly, for a good Father's Day gift, this is a great idea. And really, I highly recommend the diaper/messenger bags that Diaper Dude puts together. Good work.
Thank you guys so much.
Take care, Chris.
Alrighty, you
have
too.
Have a good week. All right, we'll take a quick break. We've got some news and then more show. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.